Welcome to the Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Otepoti, Dunedin.
Good afternoon, you're listening to the R1 News at 1. Adam and I will be your hosts today and we'll be back with the bulletin shortly, along with conservation conversations and the local produce for this week. First up is Ivy the Trees.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday the 9th of October. I'm Adam.
And I'm Celia.
In student news, Otago Students for Justice in Palestine is currently conducting a peaceful protest calling for the university to disclose, divest and support BDS. A call for boycott, disclosure and sanctions against the State of Israel. The march consisted of approximately 150 students who met at the museum lawn today at noon, the 9th of October. The protest marched through campus to a final demonstration directly in front of the clock tower. Speeches were preaching that academic neutrality is not a solution, speaking for a call to action for Otago University's Vice Chancellor Grant Robertson. Demonstrations outside the clock tower are still ongoing.
Six boys out of Death Star Flat have raised $5,200 for men's mental health charity Lads Without Labels by playing 72 holes of golf in a single day, Critic to Aotearoa reports. The boys mentioned that mental health conversations weren't often happening during their time in a boys' school, so as part of their management paper, they turned a round of golf into an event to help break the stigma and get men, particularly students, to prioritise their well-being. Support from friends, families and strangers helped them reach their $5,000 goal. To check out their day of golf and donate, head to their Instagram at Birdies for the Blokes or their Give a Little page, Swinging for Support.
In Dunedin news, all water conservation restriction and boil notices have been lifted in the wake of last week's flooding, the Otago Daily Times reports. Residents in all affected areas are now able to use water as usual, with a DCC spokesperson stating that the drinking water trucks available in West Harbour are now being removed. The remainder of the cleanup is continuing across the city and in other affected regions of eastern Otago. As of this morning, there are still about 10 roads closed around Dunedin and more remain affected in the central Otago and Clutha districts. In support of the cleanup efforts, the DCC has made 8 skips available for flood-contaminated waste, which will be cleared regularly until they're removed on Friday afternoon.
In national news, children's literacy rates are declining, leading many countries, including New Zealand, to rethink how reading is taught in schools, RNZ reports. A key change is a renewed focus on phonics, teaching kids to map sounds to letters. While phonics is essential, experts warn that over-emphasising it could reduce children's motivation to read for pleasure and understanding. Elaine Rees, a professor at the University of Otago, highlights the importance of fostering a love of stories early on. Her research shows that a child's lifelong reading success is rooted in their love for books and stories, which should be nurtured well before formal education begins. Families play a crucial role by sharing stories and books with their children from a young age, which builds language, literacy and emotional skills.
In international news, US President Joe Biden has urged residents in the path of Hurricane Milton to evacuate now before the storm makes landfall, stating that it was now a matter of life and death. Jeff Mason of Reuters reports. This follows Hurricane Milton intensifying into a Category 5 storm, the highest classification of a hurricane. Joe Biden reiterated this sentiment, stating that this could be one of the worst storms to hit Florida in over a century. As of this morning, over 1 million people have been ordered to evacuate, with the hurricane on track to hit the population centers of Tampa Bay, Florida. The U.S. National Hurricane Center forecasts storm surges of 3 to 4.5 meters along the coastline north and south of Tampa Bay, with predicted rainfall landing between 127 and 254 millimeters. The storm's maximum sustained wind speeds of 270 kilometers per hour. This follows the devastating impact of Hurricane Helene, which had hit land less than 2 weeks ago. This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, the 9th of October. Today's bulletin was written and read to you by Celia Ward and Adam Stightley. This is R1 News at 1, bringing you the weather. Today is a cold 10 degrees with strong wind gusts. Stay locked on the 1.
Conservation Conversations, your weekly catch-up on close-to-home conservation news with Adam Stately on the R1 News at 1.
Local produce, but the Radio 1 version. It's like normal local produce, but for the radio. We invite Critic to Aotearoa's...
This week in Conservation Conversations, we dig into the newest in New Zealand's conservation in a weekly roundup. This week, we'll look into the chasing of the last possums on Otago Peninsula, Takahe recording the best breeding season on Motutapu, a new strategic partnership between the Auckland Zoo and the Department of Conservation, as well as a deep dive into National's fast-track approval bills that have proposed new sites of land and seabed mining that could lead towards intensive environmental degradation. Possum populations on the Otago Peninsula have continued to plummet as dogs, AI-powered traps, and heat-detecting drones are being utilized to bring the total population number down to zero. This includes the use of Scout, the South Island's only certified possum scat detection dog, whose owner, Jonah Kiddo Verhoef, describes as extremely cute and a good boy. Scout, who focuses on finding possum poo, has been paired with the newly utilized technology of heat-detecting drones to survey population numbers and narrow down the last remaining populations to smaller areas. Since 2018, staff from City Sanctuary, Halo Project, and the Otago Peninsula Biodiversity Group work together as Predator Free Dunedin, with financial support from Predator Free 2050 Limited. These have removed more than 60,000 possums, 20,000 rats, and 2,000 mustelids from the Otago Peninsula. This has resulted in Ruru, Rifleman, Bellbird, and Tui being seen in increasing numbers by peninsula locals. Moving on to the Hauraki Gulf, five pairs of Takahe have each successfully raised a juvenile bird on the island of Motutapu, a key sanctuary site for the critically endangered bird. These young Takahe have now been officially counted in the national population, bringing the species to a global population of just over 500 birds. Motutapu is the largest of New Zealand's 17 sanctuary sites in terms of land area and Takahe population, with the island currently home to 28 Takahe. Glenn Greaves, a senior ranger in DOC's Takahe Recovery Program, has said that the overarching goal of this success is to create multiple self-sustaining wild populations within the Takahe's historic range, and is hoping that they can build on the success of Motutapu so that the site can contribute to translocation and the success of other wild populations, such as the recent move to establish the bird in Wakatipu's Greenstone Valley. On October 4th, World Animal Day, long-term partners in the Auckland Zoo and DOC signed a new partnership to work to deliver greater outcomes for New Zealand's conservation efforts. The pair of organisations have already collaborated for over three decades on recovery programs for some of the country's most threatened bird, lizard, amphibian, and invertebrate species. This partnership seeks to ensure that species are no longer reliant on intensive care and human involvement to prevent their extinction. DOC's Director General, Penny Nelson, sees this partnership as a huge opportunity for conservation that can streamline how the two organizations work together to create new projects and educate the general population, which can open the door for more Kiwis to value nature and support our native species. In more stark news, Trans-Tasman Resources, a company that wants to mine the seabed off the coast of Taranaki, has been included in the government's list of fast-tracked projects. The company wants to mine more than 50 million tonnes of seabed a year for the next 30 years in its proposed project. Kiwis Against Seabed Mining spokesperson Sydney Baxter was visibly upset at the claim that Trans-Tasman's mining proposal was proven to be environmentally safe, stating that they call it a zombie project because it is a zombie project. It's just going to wreck the environment and it hasn't been proven safe at all. This proposal quickly gained backlash, with more than 300 protesters taking to the streets in Pattaya, marching against the fast-track approval bill. Te Pate Māori stated that it was disgusted but not surprised at the government's decision to fast-track the plan. Since, the Trans-Tasman Resources have already quadrupled the size of its mining permit under the Crown Minerals Act last month. MPs are due to report back towards this proposal in mid-October, whilst the current fast-track legislation is still within the grasp of the Environment Select Committee. That's all I've got for you today in Conservation Conversations. I'm Adam Stiley, and thanks for listening. Stay locked.
Local produce, but the Radio 1 version. It's like normal local produce, but for the radio. We invite critic to Aotearoa's local produce columnist, Jordan Irvine, on air to talk about this week's featured artist or initiative on the R1 News.
Welcome back to R1 News. We're joined now with Jordan to talk about this week's local produce. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good. Who is this week's local produce?
It's my good friend Emma Jackson, known as Emmy. She DJs, which is sick. She's really good at it. A lot of house, a lot of EDM. It's very cool.
How long has she been DJing for?
Not too long, actually, which is kind of impressive, like, how far she's gone in the span of, like, 3-ish months, I think so.
Is that all?
Yeah, wow. Roughly, yeah.
Because I saw she was in the OUSA Future DJ competition recently.
Yeah.
Second place.
And that was, like, her first... like, in front of, like, people.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, not like a flat party.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of deal. So, yeah, crazy.
Cool. What made her want to be a DJ?
There's the Naughty Club Collective.
Mm-hmm.
The first local produce I did this year was on Candy, who's part of it.
Shout out.
And, Emma, like, adored them. And I think, especially seeing, like, Woman on Decks.
Yeah.
Really made her want to pursue it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have a couple of bevvies, you go and trade me.
Yeah.
You end up with some decks. And, yeah, from then you just have to keep going.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to ask, did she say how she finds the Dunedin DJ music scene as a girl?
They're actually all kind of quite nice, the people she finds at least. She's not really involved in, like, the DMB scene, which is very... male-orientated.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But the house and techno scene is a lot more diverse in terms of sound and people, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. How did she learn?
She tried learning through, like, YouTube, but that didn't work too well, so mainly she's, like, on TikTok tutorials and, like, reaching out to people on TikTok. Goes to Carousel all the time and just, like, watches.
That's
just
really smart.
Stands there and just like sees how people do things, which is really smart and really cool.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of people in the scene that she can just like ask for advice.
Yeah. I think Dunedin's quite good for that, eh? Like everyone kind of just reaches out to each other.
Yeah, everyone's nice enough. Everyone wants to uplift each other, which I think is really cool. It's not like elitist or exclusionary, which is quite cool. Yeah.
100%. Does she have any upcoming gigs?
She told me the other day that she got, like, offered to do a quinceañera, which is not really the vibe, I don't think, for, like, house music. But,
is she going to do it?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Gig's a gig.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. Well, you can follow Emmy on Instagram at emmy.wav, or you can book her yourself, right? Because she's done, like, 21st.
Yeah, she's parties, done 21st, done, like, Pulsar Ball and like the Science Ball as well, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, so you reach out and you want her to play a gig.
Yeah.
She'd be keen.
Do that. That'd be cool. Her name is Emmy on SoundCloud if you want to listen to her mixes as well. This was this week's local produce, Emmy the DJ with Jordan Irvine. Thanks for coming on, Jordan.
Thank you for having me, Celia.
See you next week.
Yay.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts. Or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.